for a little juice.
Just one more time. He's a marvelous God, and he's worthy to be praised. There is a word coming from the Lord, but before we get there, there's three reasons why I'm excited today. The first reason is because in spite of everything that's happening in our world today, in spite of how negative things may appear to be and how bad things may look, we know that buildings are falling, people are losing their lives, but God is still in control, amen? Yeah. Hallelujah, so I'm excited about that fact. The second reason is that, you know, we have not dotted every I, nor have we crossed every T. But in spite of our disobedience and not deserving of God's mercy, there is a word coming from the Lord today. Amen. I'm excited about that. And thirdly, I'm excited because all of you could have stayed home this morning. You could have been sleeping in your bed, resting, or out to the mall shopping. But you chose to come here this morning that you might hear a word from the Lord and to worship him in spirit and in truth. So let's give yourselves a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. I want to call your attention to the book of Acts chapter 3. The book of Acts chapter 3. If you would go there with me just for a few moments this morning. I believe there's something there that God wants to speak into our hearts. Acts chapter 3, and we will look at the first 10 verses, a very familiar story in the Bible, the story of a lame man that gets healed. Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. I'll be reading from the NASB translation. The Word of God reads, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, 'Look at us.' And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you.' And he says, 'In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God." Verse 9 says, "And all the people saw him walking and praising God." And we'll conclude in verse 10. It says, "And they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Amen. So into reading of God's word. The grass fades and the flower withereth, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. I want to talk on the subject today of a day of unexpectations at the church. A day of unexpectations at the church. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to be in your house. We ask for forgiveness of all of our sins. We do ask, Father God, that you would speak to us in a marvelous way, that your will be done. We ask that you would bless us with practical application, that we will leave here understanding how your words will be applied to our lives personally, individually, as well as collectively. I do ask, Father, that you would use me in a marvelous way, give me a supernatural amount of strength and energy, a miraculous amount of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Help me, O God, to speak with clarity and with simplicity in such a way that even a little child might be able to understand. Having done so, we give thy name glory, honor, and praise in advance. For we are people who walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name, amen. a day of unexpectations at the church. Unexpectation is when there's a mindset of not expecting or regarding something as likely not to happen. It is when you have a mindset of unforeseenness. It is when you have a mindset of unplannedness. It's when you have a mindset of unintentional. It's when you have a habit of coming to God's house and there's things that are unlooked for. It's when things happen, but in your mind, it's out of the blue. In other words, you don't feel like it's planned or orchestrated. It's out of the blue. It's a mindset of unexpected. It's a mindset of not really thinking that certain things will ever happen in God's house. And when we look at the earlier chapter in the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 41, I want to use these verses in my introduction that you might understand why we as Christians should not have a day of unexpectations in the house of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 verse 41, it says, "So then those who had received the word of God, they were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls." So there's preaching, there's teaching going on, and people are getting saved. Verse 42 says, "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer." People are praying. People are fellowshipping together. People are dedicating themselves to the teaching of God's word. Verse 43 says, "Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles." And these things would have been spreading. The news of it would have been spreading all throughout the area, that there were signs and wonders taking place through these men. Verse 44 says, "And all of those who had believed were together, and they had all things in common." There's unity amongst people who at one time couldn't get along, couldn't agree on things. And then the Bible says in verse 45, it says, "And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need," which means that they took upon themselves because of their conviction, because of the will of God, because of the word of God, and they were selling possessions, selling things. And it didn't matter what color a person was. It didn't matter what had happened in your life in the past, where you had been, what you had done wrong. If you had a need, your needs were met. These things are happening in the church. It says in verse 46, and it says, "And day by day, continuing with one mind," unity, same way of thinking, in the temple, it says, "and breaking bread from house to house," not only in the temple, but their actions were spreading back into their homes, and people are fellowshipping, and they're taking their meals together with gladness and with sincerity of heart. Verse 7 says, "They're praising God, and they're having favor with all the people." And it says, "And the Lord was adding to their number day by day who were being saved." God is on the move. His word is being preached. It's being shared. People are growing. People are responding. People are living their lives the way God wants them to. They're getting along. They have unity. They're praying. They're hungry and they're thirsty after God's righteousness. They want to hear the word of God. And then when we get to chapter 3, we find in this context of scripture that it is a day that Peter and John go up to the temple during the hour of prayer. And when they go up to the temple during the hour of prayer, you're going to find that in this text, it is loaded with unexpectations. It is loaded with unexpectations, not at the Boy Scouts Club, not at a book signing place, not at the Reader's Digest headquarters, not at the mall,
But it is a day of expectations at the church. And I want to pause just for a moment and stick a pin there, and I want to ask you, when you come to God's house, what are your expectations? What are some things that you expect to happen when you come to God's house? Because it is apparent from this context of Scripture that there are some things that God's getting ready to do that some people were not expecting. And I got to tell you, my brothers and my sisters, when we look at how faithful God has been to us, when we look at how true God's word is, we say all the time that God is an omnipotent God. Amen. We say that God is an omnipresent God. We say that God is an omniscient God. He knows everything. He's everywhere at the same time. He has all power, and then have a tendency to show up at God's house not expecting God to do the things that need to be done in our lives. And I just want to stop by and tell you this morning, my brothers and my sisters, we owe God more credit than that.
Amen.
We owe him more credit than that. It can be discouraging when you have great expectations, and then all of a sudden you reach a destination and maybe the crowd is not what you want it to be. But I stop by to tell you, my brothers and my sisters, that the deliverance is not in the crowd. The deliverance is in our faith, our confidence, and our trust in God and who he is. And who we are in Christ Jesus. Watch the text unfold. Lest I keep you too long. The text says in Acts chapter 3. It says, Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. You see that in verse 1. But then when you get down to verse 4, it says, but Peter, along with John, fixed his eyes on him and said, look on us. So we find between in verse 1 and verse 4 that when Peter and John goes up to the temple during the hour of prayer, and when they get there, there's a man sitting there who's been laying from his mother's womb, and Peter, along with John, fixes their gaze on this man, and they say to him, look on us. So what we find here is we find two disciples going up to the temple during the hour of prayer to have a talk with God, to tell God about the things that they need, but what they are not expecting is to be looked upon. And I want to stick a pin right there because in point number one, I want to ask the question, do you have an expectation when you come to God's house to be looked upon? And I ask that question because being looked upon here is different from somebody looking at you and being able to describe what you wore to church today. I wish I had a praying church. Because this looking upon is not based upon what you wore to church today, but this looking upon is deeper than what you have on to wear to church. This looking upon is to gaze at somebody and to realize that the person that you are today is not the person that you used to be prior to you meeting Jesus. In other words, Peter and John wants this man to look upon them in such a way that he will see that they are two men who have gone through some things in their life, just like he's going through something in his life. And because they met Jesus, they are not the same men. And if he would just look at them long enough, then his expectations will change. So I want to ask you the question again. Do you come to God's house with an expectation of somebody looking upon you, that once they look at you long enough, they'll realize that if God did it for you, he can do it for them? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was the expectation, the unexpectation of being looked upon. Certainly Peter and John was not going for folks to look upon them. They were going to pray. But when they got there, because of their lifestyle, because of their transformation, because of their conviction, they were not the same men because they had been with Jesus, and they are in a position to where they can be looked upon. So I just want to say to you today, if you're not in a position in your walk with God where you can be looked upon, it's not too late to get there. Secondly, I want you to see that there was the unexpectation of ever receiving the ability to walk. There was the unexpectation of ever receiving the ability to walk. The text says in verse 2 and 3, it says, and a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. And verse 3 says, when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. It is obvious in the text that this man is there with the expectation of receiving alms. He's there with the expectation of receiving finances to help him to be able to survive in his physical life. Because from his mother's womb, he had been carried. He could not walk. He could not work. He could not provide for himself. His expectation is, I need money. But I want you to know, my brothers and my sisters, the unexpectation in the context of this scripture is ever receiving the ability to walk. But look at where he is. He's sitting at the temple at the gate called Beautiful. And he's sitting at the church, at the place where the Spirit of the Lord is supposed to be. He's sitting in the place where God works miracles. He's sitting in the place where the Word of God is being taught. He's sitting in the place where the same people who have been getting saved and who are fellowshipping in the houses and who are breaking bread together and who are continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, he's sitting in that place, but yet he does not expect to be healed and to be able to walk. Now, I want to stick a pin right there because we all walked in here this morning, but we all have something going on in our lives that we cannot change about ourselves. And I want to ask the question, did you show up this morning with an expectation that whatever that is, God can still change it? Because if we didn't show up with that expectation, we're in the same position as the man sitting at the gate called Beautiful, begging for alms, when what he really needs is the ability to walk. But I've learned from the context, watch this. The text says that this man has been lame from his mother's womb. I don't know how old he is, but I do know however old he is, he's never been able to walk. And I just want to say, my brothers and my sisters, the text also says people have been carrying him to his destination. And if you're not careful, you will get used to, you will become content with not being able to do the thing that you haven't been able to do. But when you understand who God is, you ought to never be content. You ought to never be satisfied in a state that you are in when you know God can change it. And so he had been used to not being able to walk. It had become a custom to him to sit and to beg for alms on Sunday morning. But my brothers and my sisters, that's what happens to us. We got things in our lives. We got areas of our lives that needs to be worked on, that God needs to change, that God can fix. But we hear people say all the time, well, that's just the way I am. They say it all the time, Brother Kevin, that's just the way I am. No, what you're saying is, you're sitting at the gate called Beautiful at the temple. You're basically begging for alms because you are not expecting God to give you the ability to walk. And all the text simply means is that you have been brought to church in a condition that you can't change yourself. But when your expectation shifts, God moves in your life and you go from being lame to being able to walk. You go from not being able to forgive to having forgiveness in your heart. You go from not being able to love to having unconditional love in your heart. You go from not having any peace to where now you have a peace that surpasses all understanding. But what's your expectation? Do you know how many people come to church every week without an expectation of forgiveness? People expect to be forgiven, but they don't expect to forgive. People expect to be loved, but they don't really expect to have that ability to love unconditionally. People expect to be sad, but they don't expect to have joy in the midst of sad situation. It's not an expectation. So what's really going through our minds on that drive to church? What is our expectations? Point number three. I want you to see the unexpectation of focusing on Jesus and being touched by others. There's an unexpectation of focusing on Jesus and being touched by others. It's in verse 6 and 7. Watch this. Let me explain something about verse 5. Verse 5 says, and he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Now, watch this. It says, and he began to give them his attention. Something begins in verse 5 that was not there prior to verse 5. Something begins within this man that was not there prior to Peter and John showing up in his life. And what I believe begins in verse 5 is that this man begins to shift his expectations. His expectations began to shift from receiving money to perhaps they have something else to offer me besides money. He does not know what it is, but what he does know is that they're about to give me something. And the importance today, my brothers and my sisters, is there's got to be a shift in your expectation when you come into the house of God. Watch verse 6 and 7. Watch this. It says in verse 6, it says, but Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold. But what I do have, he says, I give to you. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Now, many people might say, well, what's so important about that? Let me tell you what's so important about that. Because if you're somebody who's been in a condition all your life, not being able to walk, and all of a sudden, two broke men are going into the temple during the hour of prayer. People have been passing you all your life. And they've been giving you money, but other than that, they've never made a difference in your life. And now all of a sudden, two broke men walk up to you and say, silver and gold I have not. At that point, Brother Kevin, what I probably would have done was, I would have tuned them out. Well, if you don't have silver and gold, it's obvious you don't have anything else to give me. I've never received anything else. Nobody touches me because I have an infirmity. Nobody touches me. I can't even go into church because of my condition. So I'm not expecting anything else. But at this point, this man's expectation begins to shift. It begins to shift. And when they say we don't have silver and gold, he continues to give them his attention. And then the text says, they said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. I haven't walked all my life. And you're telling me to walk? Y'all have lost your mind. But not this man. He still gives them his undivided attention. It's because his expectation is shifting. And then the text says in verse 7, it says, and seizing him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. In verse 7 reveals that this man was not expecting, when he was brought there, to focus on Jesus. He was not expecting to be touched by other people. But even though he was not expecting it, because he had an expectation shift, he begins to now see that Jesus Christ is the one who needs to be his focus instead of the money that people are giving him. And it becomes real to him when Peter and John reach down and touch him instead of giving him. So what they gave him was something he had been desiring his entire life. What people really need and desire more than anything when they come in God's house, I believe, is to meet Jesus in us. And not only meet Jesus in us, but to feel Jesus' affection through us. People want to be touched. Now, I know the world that we live in today, we got to be careful when we touch people. But in the house of God, as genuine Christians, people want to be embraced. People want to be encouraged. People want to know that you care about them. And this man experiences an expectation shift. Because two men show up at the house of God and they touch him and they talk to him sincerely about Jesus. So, in verse 8, let's look at number 4. Verse 8 says, with a leap he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. In verse 8, I want you to see that there's an unexpectation of leaping and praising God. Hear me carefully this morning. When you get in your car on Sunday morning, is there an expectation that when you get to the house of God, there will be people leaping? There will be people praising God. We have lost that expectation. As a matter of fact, there are people in God's house who would get frustrated with you because you make too much noise. There are people who will get frustrated with you because you just won't sit down and they can't see. It's okay if you can't see the preacher. But the problem is when you can't see Jesus. The Bible says, watch this. The text says, again in verse 8, it says, with a leap, he stood upright and he began to walk. You notice that when you go back to verse 5, it said he began to give them his attention. He began to have an expectation shift. And when his expectation shifted, now all of a sudden he begins to walk. Whatever it is that you need God to do this morning, I dare you to have an expectation shift. Because when your expectation really shifts, whatever you need God to do is going to start to take place. And so the text says he begins to walk. But not only does this man begin to walk, because there's people all over the place walking. There's nothing exciting about walking in the text. But let me tell you what is exciting. What is exciting is, it says he began to walk and he entered the temple with them. Walking, leaping, and praising God. Here's a man, because his expectation has shifted. He doesn't just now expect to walk, but he expects to meet and serve Jesus. You see, it's the expectation of serving Jesus that brings us to church in the first place. There's a whole lot of folk that expect to go to heaven, but don't have the expectation of serving the Lord. Is anybody in the house who knows that's a problem? Everybody seems to think it's okay to get saved and then just go home and sit down and talk about how good heaven is. And we all gonna rejoice when we get there. But yet in the meantime, in between time, there's no desire to go to church. There's no desire to serve God. The thing that I love about this ministry down here, Brother Kevin, Sister Becky, Sister Barbara, is that you all are faithful. And when you get to glory, you're going to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because you're providing in this place for as many people who are willing to come and to serve God, who has expectations. But you know why certain ministries are getting empty? It's because the expectations have dropped. It's the expectations, brother. People aren't expecting God to meet them in the house anymore. People aren't expecting to be delivered from their sins anymore. People aren't expecting to be raised up. People aren't expecting to be changed. The expectation is not there. And it's right here in the text. This is a day of unexpectations. When you're expecting to go on vacation on a certain date, what do? You take off work. You have an expectation. So you make plans. So here we find that this man is leaping and he's praising God. And you know what, saints? We've stopped leaping and we've stopped praising God. If God is so good to us, if we really love him so much, I see people on TV all the time and they haven't seen each other for months and sometimes years. And you know what happens when they come together? When they come together, they embrace one another. There's tears. They're excited. They're running. They're energetic. But you know what? We come to God's house just like it's any other old place. When the psalmist says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. It does not say if you've had a good week. It does not say if all is going well. No, it says enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and bless his name because of who God is. And when we understand who he is, and when we have that deep-rooted relationship with him, it doesn't matter what's happening, but he still is who he is. So therefore, my thanksgiving and my praise does not change. Finally. It's in the continuous tense with this man, because when he goes to church and he's leaping and praising God, it's not a one-time thing. And you know how some folk will praise him on first Sunday? Because it's the United Voices singing on first Sunday. But then on second Sunday, it's the senior choir. And now all of a sudden, my praise ain't the same on second Sunday. I'm not coming on third Sunday because it's youth Sunday. The house is full on fourth Sunday because it's dressed down. I don't have to put on church clothes. I can wear my jeans or whatever. People come for different reasons on different Sundays, and I'm telling you, there's a problem with the expectations. So finally, number five, and we're going home. The text says in verse number 10, I want you to see this. There's an unexpectation of being a witness. There's an unexpectation of being a witness in God's house. Here it is in verse 10. Verse 10 says, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. In other words, now the man that people were looking at on their way in for so many years, perhaps with contempt and disgust, are now looking at him with amazement. This man, when he was brought to the temple all these years, never expected to be a witness for God. But because his expectations shifted, he's now not only somebody who's leading in the praise and the worship of God, but he is somebody who is a witness for God. So I want to ask the question, when you come to God's house on Sunday, are you coming to be a witness? You see, saints, we all have a story. And with the stories that we have, many of us are embarrassed or ashamed that anybody would ever find out the whole story. Because in the previous chapters of our books, there's some things that we're not proud of. But what we fail to realize is, if you're still living, your book is not finished. And I want you to understand that people who read books start at the beginning. And when you start at the beginning of the book, that's the only way you can appreciate the end of the book. You need to know what happened in the beginning and in the middle in order to appreciate the end. So, saints, as a church, we better get back to the right expectations. Expect God to do great things in your life. Expect God to never change, because he won't ever change. Expect God to deliver whatever in your life you need deliverance from. And I promise you, if you just keep expecting, God will do it. Amen. Hallelujah. My time is up, and I thank you for yours. God bless you.